bringing you some spiritual truth to consider every day, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us today. Our passage is going to come from 1 John chapter 3, verses 4 through 10. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him, that is Christ, there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil, for no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning, because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. On Sunday, we talked about assurance of salvation and how we can have it. And I said on Sunday, if you were there for either service, that there is just more that I wanted to get to than was time for. And this is one of those passages. This is a hard passage on assurance. 1 John, one of its major themes is, how can we grow in assurance? How can we know that we are genuinely children of God and live as such? And we have passages like 1 John 5:13, which says, listen, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, you can know that you have eternal life. Praise the Lord. But there are passages like this, passages that are tough, because we are aware of our own sinfulness. We are aware of how we still fall short. When we hear that anyone who practices sinning has neither seen God nor knows God, that might give us pause and worry and concern. What does this mean? Because we all know people who claim to be Christians, people that we love maybe, but continue to practice a lifestyle that seems to be in conflict with the faith that they profess. More at home is many of us are aware of areas of sin in our own lives that we do not have the victory that we would like to have. So what does a passage like this mean? Well, first of all, here's what it can't mean. It can't mean that if we become a believer, we no longer sin. Right? If we go back to 1 John chapter 1:8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Recognition of our sinfulness is what leads us to a desire to know God and to experience forgiveness, because we recognize that we sin. And we will continue to sin. The very next verse, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. As we continue, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So John recognizes that we will continue to struggle with sin in this life. It can't mean that. Well, then what does it mean? Paul Washer, talking about the book of 1 John and assurance, says this. John is not talking about sinless perfection. He is talking about a style of living. If we have experienced legitimate regeneration through the washing of Jesus' blood, we have been given new life. He has taken out a heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. Then our lives will look different over time. 1 John gives us many of the ways that they will look different, that we are not continuing to walk in darkness, but to walk in the light, that we love our brothers. That's an important theme in John, is that we evidence the love of God in our lives by loving others, by loving our brothers and sisters in Christ especially. So, what this passage seems to be saying is anyone who makes a willful decision to continue in a lifestyle of sin has neither seen God nor known him. That the life of a genuine believer cannot continue in that direction. There will still be areas of sin that God, over time, through this process that we call in Christianity sanctification, bring conviction, bring correction, bring a change of mind and a change of attitude. This is this idea of repentance, ongoing repentance, as we walk with Christ, as we walk in the Spirit. And this will happen not because of our ability of our own personal ability to walk in righteousness, but because of the work of God in our lives and our desire to continually turn over more and more of ourselves over time to him. If we are not doing that, it is genuinely possible that we are not legitimate believers. So what's our application? Well, if you have someone in your life who claims Christ but is living a lifestyle that is in opposition to the kingdom of God, well, then we do what we should do anyway. We pray for this person. We turn them over to God in prayer and say, God, bring conviction, bring a change of heart and a change of mind. God may lead us to be the voice of conviction and direction in that person's life, but he may not. And the reality is we are powerless over the thoughts and actions of others, but we can give them to the one who has all power and can bring conviction and a change of direction, and often does. And if this person is a genuine believer, we can trust that God will, in his time, not in our time, bring about a change in their life. But what about us? What if we continue to struggle with sin? What if there are areas of habitual sin in our lives, even though we love God? Well, a first diagnostic question might be, are we fighting this sin in our lives? Are we seeking to grow? Are we giving it over to God in prayer? Are we trying to build in disciplines and practices into our lives that we might combat this area of sin, that we might be free from it? Well, that is an evidence of the work of God in your life for sure. But if these areas continue in your lives, well, is there anything we could do? I love God, but I'm practicing this area of habitual sin. Well, and maybe it's something as serious as addiction, a substance abuse problem, a pornography abuse problem, an addiction to food or some other area. The application here seems obvious, though we may resist it. We need help. We need to get help. Reach out to someone. Get into a program. If we recognize an area of habitual sin is preventing us from having assurance in our salvation, well, then we need to get outside help. As we said on Sunday, the Christian life is not a solo sport. God knows that we're not going to be able to do this by ourselves. We're not even going to be able to do this by ourselves with God. He did not intend for us to. He intended for us to live in community with others. And so when we recognize there is an area of sinfulness in our own lives that is robbing us of assurance and joy in our salvation in the Lord, then he intends for us, we can be sure, to go to others, to ask for prayer, to ask for guidance, maybe to seek professional help if we need it. This is not what saves us, but this can help us to grow in assurance because 1 John 3 tells us that whoever makes a practice of sin has neither seen him nor known him. And we can be sure that if we have experienced genuine conversion, that eventually God is going to sort that out in our lives. Praise the Lord! We want to walk in freedom. We want to walk in the joy and assurance of our salvation. Lord, we thank you for passages like this that are hard to hear sometimes. God, but do provide for us encouragement about how our lives should look. And for those of us who have walked with the Lord for a long time, we can see, we can look back and say, I would not have handled this the same way 10 years ago as I do today. Praise the Lord for that. And in all the areas that we continue to struggle, Lord, give us the courage and the trust and faith in you to get the help that we need, either from you or from a Christian brother or sister or from a pastor or a counselor. Lord, that we may grow in the assurance of who you are and what you want for us, to live the kind of life you have called us to. For your glory and our good, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning into another edition of Let's Talk. Church family, you are loved. Have a blessed day.